The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Balls and Strikes podcast is brought to you by Elkhorn Training Camp. Let's have some fun and play ball. This episode is sponsored by Ortho Nebraska. At Ortho Nebraska, no one journeys alone. Get the answers you need for your orthopedic pain or injury.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mike Alessandro, owner and co-founder of the Elkhorn Training Camp, a baseball and softball facility here in Omaha, Nebraska. Thanks for joining us today on the Balls and Strikes podcast. And I am pleased to announce our special guest today, Darren Obrick, one of the founders and owners of the Nebraska Prospects. Talk to us about when you founded Nebraska Prospects, a little bit about the history and how this all came to fruition.
Sure. Yeah, we go back to first team was in the fall of 2015. So I was an over-involved baseball dad running one of the organizations. Running one of the youth organizations in town. My oldest son's team was pretty good. We liked playing. We always played fall ball. And then kind of once we transitioned towards the high school side, had laid tracks before with their, finishing up their eighth grade season, played there. Started to get some additional kids playing with this, and sure. my recruiting strategy was, let's go get the kids that were like always beat us pretty bad growing up.
Yeah.
And
smart strategy,
get them involved, and then we put a more formal side to it. Some other guys got involved, Raleigh Kenny, Jeff Lisey, and we put together one team. We had 1 week of practice, went up to Des Moines, won a tournament. We're like, wow, this is pretty
fun. What year was this again?
Fall of 2015.
Okay.
So my oldest son, Ryan, I always kind of joke, is prospects player number one. And he has now finished his college career and graduated and all that fun stuff. So it's amazing how time flies. So then following that season, we finished that year at the Colonel's Classic with a 4-1 record, lost the wrong game in pool play. Back then they played a consolation game, came back and won that at, walked off the field at Mount Vernon in Iowa at, 9:30 at night on a Sunday, and then got to drive home and, got home at 1:30 in the morning or whatever. So, it was a very successful start. The next year we had four teams, kind of the growth started to 16s to 18s.
Sure.
Playing more down in Kansas City, Des Moines, pushing areas like that, and then always finishing up again in the Colonels. That was a year of a weird situation where Cedar Rapids got hit by a massive flood, so they had to push the tournament a week. Ended up, scrambling, getting more teams involved. It was kind of a lot of chaos and activity back then. We look back and go, all right, that was fun. Let's do it again.
Sure. So you mentioned Raleigh Kenny. You mentioned Jeff Lisey. Who were the original coaches on that 2015 team?
It was those two guys.
It was those two guys.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. So we had just a little bit of good coaching experience and knowledge in the dugout back then. So yeah.
Yeah. Just a little bit. So talk to me about, so when you started the prospects, obviously you talked about, your son and wanting to play at a higher level and all that good stuff, but talk about what's the overall mission of the Nebraska prospects.
It's just to provide a more robust baseball experience, and whether that's kind of up to the player of what that means for them.
Sure.
To which season that they're doing it in, if it's a future development of skills and making themselves better, if it's a refinement of the recruiting process, if it's an ability to get out and be seen by more, by more schools to get to cast a wider net of recruiting.
Sure.
All of those things can be, kind of achieved by how we put the program together and the things that we do. So,
and as you know, when it comes to college recruiting, it's all about the relationships, right? So I know you guys spend a lot of time just building the relationships across all levels of collegiate baseball, correct?
We really do. It's not just the Power Five guys or the D1 guys. I mean, we get phone calls and conversations at all levels, from all the way through the JUCOs, predominantly in the Midwest, but not necessarily. I mean, we've got a lot of contacts and guys that are all over Texas, all over the Southeast. You know, more East Coast guys have been reaching out now. As we've been doing it, we've had a few of our players go out and be very successful in the West Coast. You know, you take some of those guys that have been went out to California, now down in, you know, one's now playing the University of Houston. So I mean, it's some pretty fun stories we've been able to accomplish by that. Yeah, it can be any time that a recruiting coordinator under the SEC calls, or it could be a D2 pitching coach or a D3 coach looking for an additional, you know, catcher, first baseman, whatever they're needing.
Absolutely.
You know, we try to be one of their calls to just be a resource for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you started off in 2015, we're in 2024 now. Talk a little bit about the growth trajectory. Where are you at as far as number of teams, level, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so we, you know, along the way, we wrapped up another program called the Nebraska Sluggers back in, you know, 2017, and had those guys playing, you know, it's kind of our first summer team.
Sure.
That we did that way. 2018, we roll out, and we've got that summer, the summer 2018 was when that really really in play with the Sluggers. 2019 is when we had our first branded prospect summer team. Okay. You know, now we're running six summer teams, mm-hmm. Depending upon all the age groups, two per age that way. Last fall, we wrapped up with 20 fall teams, going all the way from seniors, where we had multiple teams per age group, all the way down to and including, you know, a couple of 11-year-old teams that played. So, you know, they're different. Each season's a different animal.
Yeah.
You know, in the fall, a lot of times it works great that you know, let's say your summer team doesn't all want to play fall ball. They want to go do other sports.
That's right.
Or they're the basketball guys, or want to play football or whatever, but there's still a remaining kids that say, no, this is my sport. I want to do this. We're able to kind of put those teams together and say, great, let's go continue to play. Let's go play, depending upon their age group and time commitment, 4 to 6 tournaments in that time frame.
Yeah.
Again, with all the new facilities that have been built, you know, regionally, we can either go and say, okay, let's go do this in Des Moines or Cedar Rapids or Kansas City, or once in a while spread down to St. Louis or Wichita. And that's really what we need to do there. Now, on the other side, you know, for the really higher end guys, let's say, fine, let's go play one or two tournaments, three tournaments that they don't need to go to Kansas City. Maybe they're already a committed athlete. Maybe they already know their path, or they're on the radar. Mm-hmm. They're rated. They've done all these kind of different things. And let's say, great, let's go down to Atlanta. Let's go down to Fort Myers. Sure. Let's go down to Phoenix. Let's go make a bigger commitment for that time of year to go get seen by a different crop of scouts, recruiters, whatever.
Sure. Absolutely. When you think about, you know, coaching philosophies and or routines and practice regimens or whatnot, how would you describe, you know, the Nebraska prospects approach to that? You know, is there a fundamental philosophy around coaching and practice regimens?
Our practices are run more like a college program's practice, because we rarely only practice with just one team.
That's right.
So it's usually two to three teams at a time. We want 30-ish, you know, kids on the field doing station work, group work, skill specific work.
Yep.
You know, we don't. You know, by the time you're playing for us in a high school environment, you're probably down to two positions or less. Mm-hmm. You probably know what you are. I mean, either an infielder, I'm an outfielder, or maybe I'm also a combo pitcher. But you're not trying to be, you know, like, you know, a lot of U-Trip kids where they still think they're playing, you know, 3, 4, 5 positions.
That's right.
And got to be all over the field. Yeah. You know, you know what you are by the time you get to high school. Either the game has said you only can compete at a couple positions, or you've refined your talents to where you are that.
That's right.
And so our practices look a lot different than, say, a lot of normal youth practices, because we're running those stations. We've got multiple coaches there. You know, a lot of times we'll have 4 or 5 coaches there. Yeah. We're running, you know, double fungos. We're running, you know, cuts and relays. We're doing a whole lot of different things at the same time, because standing around and wasting time is the enemy of productivity.
Absolutely.
And so it's really, you know, I really enjoy watching our practice nights and being involved with them and seeing how it all is kind of, you know, how it all works. And because you can keep 30 plus kids busy at the same time.
Yeah. It's a little intimidating for the kids who are new to your program. Right. But if you're trying to get them to the collegiate level, it's what's necessary. I witnessed one of them last fall down in Chandler, Arizona, and it was action packed. It was fantastic to see.
Yeah. It's really fun. And you know, when you get all the, you get all the coaches together, and you know, they're competing also with each other. I mean, we've got a bunch of guys, I think they're the best fungo wizards out there. So it's good to, good to go make them compete with each other and see if you can actually can, you know, consistently hit the ball where we need it to be all the time. So
Absolutely. Absolutely. So talk a little bit about, you know, some of the tournaments you mentioned, you know, when you got the start in 2015, but talk about some of the tournaments that you get these kids exposed to, especially, you know, in the summer, right? When you travel at the national level.
Sure. Sure. We just wrapped up a couple of weeks ago having teams in both Phoenix and Fort Myers here in a little MLK tournament weekend that we've done. And historically, you know, a couple of years ago, our senior team ended up winning the one in Phoenix, you know, which is a really cool experience. Ended up facing kids out of the Northeast, throwing 94 in Woodbat, in a Woodbat tournament.
That's pretty good.
It's a little different. don't get to see that all the time, in high school baseball. Our senior team finished up third down in Fort Myers here with that. In the summertime, you know, we go compete at the PG WWBAs in Atlanta or their tournaments in Hoover, which is, you know, rivaling the amount of recruiting that's happening there. Hoover's the home of where the SEC, you know, championship tournament's at. And PG has, you know, made a massive physical investment with additional fields there and the others that you get to compete with in the area. They got some phenomenal facilities. We'll go down and play the Chad Wolf Classic all in Fayetteville. And then that town has had some amazing support by a lot of its corporate partners. Maybe you've heard of a couple of them, like, you know, Walmart, you know, has made some significant investments in high school sporting facilities down there. And you get to get out and play in some true gems of stadiums. You know, our teams have gotten to compete, you know, at Bomb Walker.
Yeah.
You know, so that's always cool to be playing at the home of Arkansas when hopefully usually at that same time they're up here playing in Omaha. So, you know, when we do other tournaments, you know, the Indianapolis's, the Kansas City's, we'll take teams down to Fort Myers or West Palm and hit some of those national tournaments that way. Prospect Meadows up in Cedar Rapids. We've got guys at nearly every weekend, you know, Creekside and the new facilities that both PG and PBR have been building down in Kansas City. I mean, it gives us a lot of great inventory in which to go see our kids compete at all different levels.
There's a new one opening up at Creekside this year, correct?
Yeah, it's now open.
Yeah,
it finished up at the very end of the fall. It's ready to roll, and they're just waiting for, now that we've got, you know, 50s and 60s outside, I mean, they'll start advertising field space for probably next weekend if, you know, the weather holds around this area. So
absolutely. There'll be a March blizzard, though.
I'm sure.
We all know that.
Don't jinx it, Mike.
Absolutely. So obviously, tremendous impact giving these kids exposure at the national level. Round numbers, Darren, what would you say the impact's been as far as, you know, kids receiving scholarships, you know, any other data or metrics that you have on, hey, this is what we've really done and provided these opportunities for the kids.
And we've been a part of this, right? So it's the change of or the advancement of the baseball ecosystem. You know, there's a lot to it, but today, the last four classes we put kids that have been involved with us and playing with, you know, it's the numbers over 60 per class.
Unbelievable.
That are going. And that's just us, right? But that's also moved the amount of kids throughout the state of Nebraska that have gone. So that number by, you know, some research, we go back to the pre-2015s back in there, you're finding 60 and 70 names per year is all that went of all ages and ranges of abilities. And now we're seeing that number being 120 to 140 per class that are going out and getting involved at different levels. And that's all the way from, you know, the high level Power Fives, the College World Series level teams, all the way down to the NAIAs, the Division Threes that are in the area, but still provide a terrific experience for those, you know, young men to go compete the sport of baseball.
That's right.
Use that as a growth avenue for what they're doing later in life. You know, we all know that their GPA is going to be way more important than their ERA, and figuring those things out of how they go about, you know, what they're doing, but it's the avenue to get them there.
That's right. That's right. Well, you just said something there that's a good lead into, you know, you're a parent of several college players, right? What do you have as far as advice for parents who kids are obviously playing baseball? You talked about academics, so I don't want to steal all the thunder there, but what do you tell parents?
First is make sure you're saving as much money for college as you are spending on baseball. And that's one that I'm very serious about.
Yeah.
College savings plan, 529s, all those things are integral to the future betterment of the experience. Okay. Number one. Part two is academics are a massive focus. So the first, nearly with every coach that we talk to, their first question when we talk about any kid is like, hey coach, we got a kid we want to talk about. And they're like, great. What's his grades? That's his first, because every coach has limited budgets.
That's interesting, yeah.
Every coach is trying to figure how they can slice and dice all they can with their scholarship money. Yeah. And every coach is trying to lay off as much as they can to their academic money for kids to qualify. So if you walk in and say, yeah, this kid's got a 385 and he's great, and he's got a 28 ACT, they're like, beautiful. This is great. We can make him work. But if you walk in and say, yeah, the kid's got a 2.2 GPA and he's got a 19 ACT, then that story really changes. And they're like, well, maybe I'm not as interested because he may not help my GPA rank, because, you know, those coaches are also graded upon what's their team GPA, what are they doing with those kind of things. And it also just shows that player's commitment to the classroom as much as the commitment to being on the field.
I know it's different per level, but at the D1 level, how many scholarships is it for the entire roster of 45 players?
Yeah, right? 11.7. And it's a ludicrous number. It needs to change. There's big push at the high levels to make this happen. You know, we needed to get, you know, paid third assistants first. Sure. And now we need to be, you know, changing the entire structure of how college baseball does scholarships. But that's, we don't have anywhere close enough time to cover that on any podcast. Yeah, so
absolutely. So I think what you're saying is, okay, kids, you can post on your Twitter, you know, your double and all your fancy stats from Game Changer, but maybe put your GPA in your profile too.
Yeah, if it's good. And if it's not good, then buckle down and focus, because there's ways, you know, it's, you know, every GPA can still be fixed. You know, it's never too late to go do that, but focusing on your academics is as important as focusing on the other stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's just the precursor to what the future success is. And every coach, I promise you, this happens to us all the time. The second question is always, great, what's his GPA?
Absolutely. Excellent. You have a fantastic event coming up this Sunday night. Talk about the annual scholarship banquet.
Yeah, we're really happy of how this has grown over the years. It's, you know, something we kicked off years ago, and we're now in year six of it as we go about. And so we've got, you know, nearly 150 people coming to our senior banquet. It was celebrating the young men that have been involved in our program all the time. Re-announcing their commitments to the colleges that they've now signed to, and all of their national letters of intent that they've signed, locked in where they're going to school. We've got some very generous donors that have come forward and support our program and support this event. And we'll be handing out a lot of scholarships that night to some very deserving kids that, you know, have put in the hard work. This is a nice. It's nowhere close to the finish line for anybody, but it's sure a nice little moment to sit back and pause and go, you know, this has really been cool to come from a state where, you know, this is my last son's, you know, my youngest son's class of knowing all of these kids. So, I mean, I look around this room and I don't just see all of these 6'3", you know, big time dudes walking around this room. I see a whole lot of 10-year-olds. A whole lot of 12-year-olds. And I remember I remember watching these kids compete at all of these different youth fields all over everywhere and knowing them all the time growing up. And it's really been a super fun process to see all that happen. And so getting all the parents together again, you know, a lot of us haven't seen each other since the end of the fall. And so it's a great, hey, let's get everybody back together and reconnect after a long winter. It's going to be great weather this year. So we don't have to worry about that as we've had in some years past about having some travel issues. That all looks great. So, you know, really excited to bring in all that together and then getting these boys ready to go compete for their senior seasons in high school baseball that kicks off in less than a month.
That's fantastic. It's going to be a phenomenal event as always. Is there still spaces left if our listeners still want to register?
Oh yeah. Yep. We still got a few tables we can squeeze in there. So
let's go to the Nebraska Prospects Baseball website.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, Darren, thank you to you and the Nebraska Prospects team for what you do for the baseball community. Obviously, Nebraska does a phenomenal job with youth sports, in our opinion, right? We have a fantastic foundation of baseball, and you guys are a critical pillar of that. So thank you for what you and the prospects do for the community.
We appreciate it. And let's boomerang this right back to you, because without great, you know, supporting partners like yourselves, everything that we've done with you know, all the different facilities that you work with, and we've been been grown this thing. This has not just been done in a vacuum.
Absolutely.
You know, this takes, as we all say, it takes a village, right? It takes a lot of people and a lot of places to bring a lot of success to this. And you've been one of those integral people that have been standing by our side not just, you know, saying, hey, what do you need? It's like, hey, I'm here to help and let's move this thing forward. So, you know, it's all been great. You know, these events as well to bring more awareness of things that are out there. You know, let's look forward to a great season and let's get it going.
This is loads of fun. Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Ancora Media Production.